okay now. I'm done with it.
And it's working. Hooray.
Is that mine or yours?
Oh, that's yours. This one's mine.
Oh, good.
Yes.
All right. Provisions are here.
It is not lost. It is not lost.
All is not lost.
Indeed. Hello and welcome to Please Would You Shut Up. I am your host, Michaela Gorman.
I am your co-host, Blake Hunsley.
This is a shorter episode because topic appeared today that just had to be talked about because...
Can I just point out that that's wishful thinking?
Yes, all right.
Hopefully on your part, not the listeners, but yeah. Wishful thinking.
Wishful thinking.
Shortest episode ever.
Yeah.
90 minutes.
We're going to attempt to keep it under 20 minutes, but we're already approaching 1 minute with just saying, hello.
I also went, for a while.
Ah!
Don't discount my contributions. Not time-wise, anyway.
Effort is made. Anyway, so recently, of course, a film was produced, a documentary that is a discussion on the impact of Apu, Nahasapina Penelon, as a representation of culture in The Simpsons as to how they deal with things. The documentary is called,
Isn't the problem with Apu?
Yeah, the problem with Apu, and it is the work of Hari Kondabolu, Balalu. I swear, I'm fucking that up.
If you're reaching for pronunciation, I am not your guy.
It is this really brilliant little documentary discussing the unique position that The Simpsons are in because of their longevity as a cartoon and like. Cultural mirror / inversion.
Cultural mirror, I think, is a good way to put it, but I don't think it's
not.
They've
anymore.
Been super funhouse,
yeah, not
style
anymore.
For like the last 15 years.
Oh God,
more?
Yeah. Like they, yeah. Ooh,
well, what
no,
season is this?
Longer.
What season is this?
So this is season 32. It's 2018, and they started in 1987.
God,
86.
That's okay. This is okay. So yeah, longer than 15 years. They're going on 20 years. 20 what? God, 20 some years.
They're going on almost 30. They have
of irrelevance.
Of irrelevant. No, you're right.
No,
almost
talking...
20 years of irrelevance.
Yeah.
Because yeah, season 7.
Well,
I
shouldn't say that when we're dedicating a segment to talking about it. But admittedly,
well,
we are
relative.
Dedicating a segment to. Criticisms of the show.
That's the thing. It's relative irrelevance. They are themselves irrelevant, but the impact that they had is very relevant. It's generally believed that The Simpsons stopped being good, I believe it is season 7, with the episode in which Seymour Skinner is revealed to be Armin Tanzarian, a layabout from Capital City.
Yeah, and everyone chooses to forget it.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Just be okay with it.
He just
no, that was worth it. That was worth it for one Bart callback. Like, I can't remember how much later it was, but he called him Principal Tamzarian just to shut him up once, and it was
this great moment where it's Armin.
Like, oh, everybody knows, everybody remembers that actually did happen. That's fun. I would argue that it certainly had hilarious moments later than that, like.
It's not that it immediately shut off.
No.
It's that's...
It began to peter out.
Point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, from there it kind of... Because...
They're on season 29, apparently.
Oh my God. But yeah, like, from there you end up with the problem of every episode overtly and knowingly being like, we can do whatever we want in it, and we're just going to wipe continuity at the end of the episode.
Well, you have to.
Well,
like, it's the 29 years thing.
Yeah, but the very
how much are you gonna do?
The very first episode of The Simpsons introduces Santa's Little Helper, and that stayed. Maude Flanders died, and that stayed.
Yeah, it's a bit cherry picky. Yeah,
you know,
I think it would be really fun if The Simpsons had started with a basic family setting, character base, and premise at the start of each season. And just, if you were going to aim to be on the air for 30 seasons,
yeah,
which I'm sure wasn't the goal back then, but
no,
you know what?
No.
It would have been, if you're going to stick around, maybe you should have planned that.
Well,
but it would have been nice if they'd done every season. Just, okay, we know we're keeping them the same age.
Yeah.
That only gets you know, that's only enjoyable so long, because otherwise there's going to be character weight and developments and things. So instead, no, fuck all of that. And just make it very clear at the end of season one that you will be wiping, doing a complete reset for season two and starting at the same point, but going in a completely different direction.
That'd be really
cool.
And
just every season is just a self-contained series of The Simpsons and the people of Springfield, where it just, you know, it's just butterfly effect from moment one, and it just goes off somewhere else.
Not only that, but because it began in the late 80s, if you just keep sticking it there, it can become more and more relevant as a perspective the more you learn about the 80s. Because you can take it in an obvious direction, you can take it in a direction you wouldn't know about until 15 years later when something comes out, and it's like, we can tie that into the next season. I would love to see...
You would miss Pie Man, I think, if you did that.
Oh, no.
You can't escape Homer with the internet. That's important.
That's
the one flaw in this plan.
That is a super 90s necessary look at the internet, in which it doesn't do anything, but everyone agrees it is fantastic. I love the 90s
fantastic
internet.
But also brings upon the downfall of...
Yes. Our main character. He ends up on the island from oh god, I can't believe I've completely forgot The Prisoner. The fantastic 60s English. I love The Prisoner. I have DVD copies of the entire Prisoner series, produced by A&E when they used to actually do shit like that. I fucking love The Island.
It's one of those things. The Prisoner. I doubt I've seen a single episode.
You don't know you have.
No, this is what I'm saying, is because it's referenced so much. It's like, it took me a really long time to see Soylent Green.
Mm.
And I obviously loved it when I did. But at the same time, so much of it I was just excited to see in its more original format, because I'd seen every pivotal moment of Soylent Green. Done in The Simpsons, among other little cultural institutions, and it's great when you have a moment like that.
I took some time about a month and a half ago, and I sat down and watched the original Westworld, and that is a film that you're just like, oh my god, you're
when
so
is that
70s.
From? Okay.
That all right. So yeah, that's like 1977, 78. All right, no, it's after Star Wars, but just the first Star Wars.
Okay.
And just barely, because Michael Crichton directed it.
Okay.
He wrote it and directed it. The villain is Yul Brynner.
I'm watching it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Playing a robot cowboy
face like that,
who doesn't say anything. No, it's Yul Brynner. I mean,
that's right.
It's Yul fucking Brynner.
I am there.
You know, and then it's James Brolin and some other guy that I can't even remember, as like two park attendants, and they spend half the movie being like, this is goddamn ridiculous. Just like, literally every line might as well, this is goddamn ridiculous.
I need to watch this.
And then Yul Brynner comes and tries to kill them, and it turns into yes. Just being stalked by Yul Brynner across like Disney World.
I hate to time check you, but we're 8 minutes in and we've almost referenced the core message of this.
Damn, it happens every fucking time. Okay, so, anyway, documentary, Problem with Apu. Fantastic in the sense that it...
Who's it by?
I'm not going to try that again. Fuck you. But it discusses, like, the way that Apu started as possibly one of the only consistent forms of representation on American television of an Indian American. Even though that representation was itself a simplistic stereotype. Now, that simplistic stereotype did grow into a beloved, rich character, not even necessarily by the time he got his family. The episode, Who Needs a Quickie Mart, if that didn't enshrine Apu, the person, within you, you know, your heart as like a full fleshed out character, then you weren't watching and paying attention to Simpsons at the, you know, in their prime.
Who needs the Quickie Mart?
Who needs that Quickie Mart?
I do.
So God, I love that
felt
fucking
necessary.
Episode. That's another thing,
a great
that,
episode.
That Simpsons don't do well anymore. Musical episodes. They used to do great
musical bits.
I honestly
wouldn't know, and that...
Now, I haven't seen an episode in, like, three seasons.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Fuck.
Like, Not 15, that's saying a bit much. I would say 10 at least. And that's not like, well, I don't know if it is consciously tuning out or just, you can only watch so much of something. Like,
and it's,
and I understand they're trying to get viewers from a new era. They're trying to get the viewers who, you know, like back when it came on in the 80s, like I was their core demo apparently at that point. Buying the toys and the commercials anyway.
Well, that's the thing. It took such a sharp turn after the first year, because the first year, it was supposed to be like, it's adult and college humor.
Yeah, I honestly, I don't remember the first year. I've
For
seen,
fans
I know
of
it was
the
like,
Tracy Ullman show.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, what the
can
fuck?
We take a brief aside to Tracy Ullman?
Yeah.
Oh my God. What is her new show called? Is it always the Tracy, is it the
it's
Tracy Ullman show?
Yeah, it's
or
either
a Tracy Ullman show.
That would be great if she finally just said, like, started playing with it that way, like
Tracy
a
Ullman's
Tracy Ullman show.
It's seriously
Tracy Ullman's Tracy Ullman show.
Tracy Ullman's Tracy Ullman show starring Tracy Ullman.
Yeah.
As
oh
Tracy
my god.
Ullman.
As Tracy Ullman.
Have you, are, how familiar are you with her current show?
Not with her current show, not.
Oh my god. Fantastic, fantastic. Her Angela Merkel. You want to see good musical numbers. Angela Merkel pulling a musical number. It's so, so good. Nicola Sturgeon, the SNP head of Scotland.
Yeah.
And oh, wee Mary. Mary Black. She's her sidekick. It's, oh, you should, well, wee Mary Black, you need to look up anyway. This, we'll get into this.
Black.
This is a whole other pop culture episode.
Yeah,
oh,
well,
my Lord.
Tracy Ullman.
Not just Tracy Ullman. I'm talking
disgusting.
Wee
like,
Mary and her maiden speech to Parliament. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You want to get people who are fans of nonsensical, but actually well-meant and epically delivered bombastic nonsense. You want to watch that.
Fantastic.
Oh, she's actually great.
Oh,
she is.
Oh, my God.
But, so we're not critiquing her. Or, and we're definitely not critiquing Tracy Ullman. We're critiquing The Simpsons.
Right.
Because
so,
of the, well, of the response to this.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously the Simpsons take a while to be produced because they're high quality animation and all that. And so you have to write a script.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get the millionaires to agree to come into the room and read the script. You have to then
okay,
send
the,
it to Korea.
I don't mind the voice actor millionaires, like the day-to-day Simpsons.
Yeah.
Any show that starts pumping out the guest stars every episode is going to get immediately tiresome. I don't understand how that object lesson gets missed every time. Like,
I kind of like the...
There are some fun ones. I know it's basically an honor at this point, but like
it
mostly
can
it's
be
just
done
no,
correct.
No.
One person that I think always appears well is John Hamm. And it's not just because he has this amazing presence and comic timing and is, of course, gorgeous, but it's almost like this weird, like, immediately because he became famous for being this very serious character, but he's this great comedic presence.
He's hysterical.
So it anytime he appears in a cameo, I love it.
Okay.
Because it's just this thing of like, and I'm John Hamm. It's like, of course you are.
No, I'm not saying there's been no, like, there's been, oh my god, who did Homer's mom? Wasn't that Glenn Close?
Yes, yeah, and, but there's
like,
there's a difference between old and new appearance. It used to be that they would create a character, and then they would take that person whose voice is known and, you know, and insert them. They never had Michael Jackson on the show. They had a white guy named Michael Jackson, who was voiced by Michael Jackson.
That was great.
That was amazing.
Uncredited, no less, I believe.
Uncredited, yeah. They, you know, Glenn Close. She wasn't playing Glenn Close, and Glenn Close suddenly comes to Springfield wandering
I'm
around
talking
going,
even when you have a guest star every other week playing a character. I'm just... When you get that moment where if you had a studio audience, they're supposed to go, woo, it's that person.
Oh,
no, I don't want to be excited by the voice actor. I want my regular stable of voice actors. I want a lot of gifted extras, you know, beloved character actress Margot Martindale types who, you know, they're all about the service. They're not about the fans. They're not about the fans. They're not about the glory. They're about doing the job right. And then
this
you
the
have,
character.
Like... two episodes a season where you have an incredible guest star.
Yeah.
But no, otherwise you're last time out Will and Gracing it. Like,
yeah.
And this week on Will and Grace, every fucking one, Like, no, hey, Jenny from hello, the block, no, Elon not. Musk, Madonna?
You just moved in next door, you say?
Oh my God.
That is so amazing. We'll never
You're
see
charming
you
and sexually ambiguous. Who will you make out with? Everyone? My money's on everyone. By the way, the welcome back, Will and Grace, is very funny in just the way I wanted it to be.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a, I have a good time watching it.
I never watched Will and Grace growing up. I was
it's
a Dharma
the same
and
thing
for some
as a poo.
Fucking reason.
It's the same thing as a poo.
Yeah.
Early on, it was like, we're not going to discount Ellen, we're not allowed. But early on, it was one of the only representations on TV.
So it doesn't matter
and
how
it
bad
was
it is.
So, right, because Will never kissed anyone.
This is all you have.
Yeah, just Jack was just consistently over the top in a way that more of a personal thing at that age I wasn't sure I got, as opposed to older, comfortable gay me that is like, ha, camp is wonderful.
Well, actually, that's what I was going to tie
but
this
Jack
whole...
is older and more into it too now.
Yeah.
But also, like, all of the characters have kind of been allowed to be more, I don't want to say realistic, but more recognizable, perhaps.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the gay men are allowed to actually pursue not just, like, wholesome, super, like, you're the one relationships, but, like, no, occasionally you're allowed to bungle it and just get lucky and have a little fun at the doorstep. Like, and I enjoy that. I think that's great.
Yeah. And it, but I, when
but,
I
but they haven't,
this...
but I'm guessing, okay, so the critique of this documentary is that
yes,
they haven't.
Yes, so for, well,
they
the
haven't,
first ties back to that.
Yeah, exactly. And we were tangenting pretty hard.
We
made
were,
it back.
We were,
made it back.
We are going to end up back there, but we will first, yes. So, yeah.
It's a circuitous route, but we'll get there together.
Yeah. So, keep in mind that the documentary is one of those things that is made... It's like, it's made with love. It's like, we wouldn't put this much effort into it, and we wouldn't care about this if we didn't actually care and enjoy your work. We just don't want you to see you slip.
Mm-hmm.
And The Simpsons released a video, one of their bumper videos that they do now, mostly about Trump, which are just like, yeah, I get it. You hate Trump, too. You're
we
also
just
well off.
Contrast them with South Park that hates Trump so much that they basically couldn't even say his name. They turned to character.
Oh no
Trump.
No! It's not
that
they
was,
hate
no.
him. No, they've said this in interviews. It's not that they hate him. They don't understand what to do with him comedically.
Oh
yeah.
Oh, that's
it,
so much
he
worse.
He broke them.
Oh,
he
that's so much worse.
South Park.
But that's what the response from South Park should be, because South Park has always skewered everything skewerable. But then you have something that is just. It's not skewerable because it's just too bad.
Well, the season when the election was happening, you can tell that they fully believed, like everyone else, that Hillary's going to get in. Because that's where the fucking storyline was leading to.
Oh, yeah.
And suddenly they had to eject the entire thing, and they lost all focus. For two seasons, they lost all focus.
I kind of loved it.
I kind of loved it. Because it's like, they don't know what the fuck they're doing for once. Not in the sense, like, these are EGOT
yes,
winners.
Yes, but, okay,
and
but
they
we're
don't
talking
know what to
about
do
how,
with it.
We were talking earlier about how The Simpsons are a reflection of, like, a mirror on society that's become a funhouse mirror because it's just base, boring, comedic, and it doesn't really reflect society anymore.
Yeah.
But South Park has always been a very sharp social mirror.
Rather sharp.
Well,
no.
No.
I'm saying that as a fan, as someone who has played all their video games, every episode seen everything that Matt and Trey have ever produced, including Orgasmo and Cannibal the Musical.
I have not seen Cannibal the Musical.
Oh, no, that's
Orgasmo
the classic.
Okay,
it's better than Orgasmo.
But anyway, my whole point is, what better reflection of society was there post that election?
That's a good point.
Then losing a bunch of focus and ejecting a lot of storyline.
That's a really good point, actually.
It was kind of comforting to know I wasn't
back
alone in my
it. Yeah,
exactly. It's just like, but I'm flabbergasted. It's like, yeah, but so is everyone in South Park, Colorado. Like, oh, okay, well, that makes me feel a little better.
That's why I think they kind of turned to doing video games, because they're just like, ah, oh, fuck it, we'll make a video game about superheroes, and we'll make a video game about D&D, because I'm retreating to things that are comfortable. Ready Player One. We'll get to that in a different. Oh,
I was going to take us back by addressing that they have a character named Token, who is less of a token than the character that had a documentary made about.
That's an excellent. That's a really good point. But yes, we'll get. Okay,
And a bridge back to our original narrative.
Segway.
Yeah.
So the documentary finally got a response from The Simpsons, and The Simpsons more or less went, well, you know, if you don't like it, maybe stop watching.
I want to take a pause to watch this because we've talked about this. I haven't seen this.
We're allowed to have it in the background as sound because this is a critical discussion.
Okay.
So you can just play the damn thing.
Well, I could, but my computer is very slow, so that's why I'm suggesting a pause.
Oh, okay. We'll be right back.
This would actually be a really good time to mention that people can donate to us on Patreon.
Yeah, find us on Patreon at Here Ego. Also, we are available on Twitter at Won't You Shut Up and at Industry Is Doom.
In the notes section of your donation, please indicate whether it's to Hey Trenny or Hey Fag, and then we'll know which one of us you love more. Thanks.
If at all. That is the response that The Simpsons, spoken by Lisa Simpson, the character who intentionally exists
to be progressive. Did she say if at all or did Marge?
Marge says it first. No, Marge says these are things that will be dealt with in the future, and Lisa responds, looking dead down the camera, if at all. Lisa,
at a later date.
The character who exists to be progressive and to make change. The character who, when presented with Malibu Stacy being offensive, created her own version and was applauded for it by the creator of Malibu Stacy. They have shit all over their own characters and bases. They have become Skinner, blaming the children for being wrong.
See, I wasn't expecting to be super annoyed by the response. I was really interested about the documentary, and now having seen the trailer, I'm extra interested about it. Some really strong statements from people in there hating Apu. Like,
there are some very prominent...
Starting with Cal Penn, straight up, I hate Apu.
I hate Apu.
Yeah. But then it's funny, because I haven't thought about Hank Azaria voicing Apu in a long time. And it's funny, when you do see him do it live, it's like, it seems a little weird in this day and age.
Yeah.
But I get that Apu's been successful for so long. Among, you know, for most people, apparently.
Yeah.
But when I think about it, like we talked about earlier with Will and Grace, like, cliche characters.
Well, that...
You're happy for a cliche character originally.
Yeah.
But when there's, you know, when there's competition, and there's lots of, in this case, Indian characters. Not lots, but, you know, there's...
Well, there's more Indian
comparatively.
Characters. There's normal Indian characters on TV. There are exciting Indian characters on TV.
Yep.
You can see whatever you want.
Yeah. It was interesting to see Sakina Joffrey lampooning the cliche Indian accent voice, considering I know I've seen her do it. I believe on the Mindy Project, isn't it?
I believe so. Yeah. Yes. And that may have, like, the way that's set up, I think it's them discussing times when they've gone into a job and the producers are like, so how Indian can you be? And they're like, I am Indian?
Yeah.
And they go, no, but can you do that voice?
Yeah. See, and I kind of appreciate that she's telling that story, having seen her in a role where she used that voice, because it's like, I value your opinion more because you took that job, and now you're still willing to say...
Yeah.
You're still willing to make a point.
That is still offensive, like, though, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm excited to see this, and it did make me question Apu, and I knew I would a little bit, because Apu is...
Yeah.
But he's, in my head, he's an inoffensive stereotype, but, you know, I get that I'm coming from a place of not being an Indian, so I understand that. But there are a lot of, I guess, the most cliched gay characters that I enjoy, if I can make it more relatable to myself and still, you know, make it kind of applicable here. Like, Buddy Cole.
Yeah.
Is hilariously cliche.
Well,
right?
that's...
But at the same time, he only exists in that period of time. He hasn't been going on for 30 years.
Yeah, and
that's
actually...
I can't imagine how I feel about that now.
That's totally something that I want to tie it back to, because this is, give it an equivalency, this is like camp. This is like someone walking up and going, "Hello, Jackie."
This camp's hilarious.
Yeah, camp is hilarious, but it also is like camp is hilarious when it comes from people who are within it. If yes. you get someone out to make a really, really direct point, remember Hank Azaria?
Oh, no, that's well, I was spacing entirely. If a straight man was playing Buddy Cole for 30 years, I'd be having a
There's the thing. Remember Hank Azaria in the Birdcage?
Yeah, that didn't bother me at all, actually.
No, so maybe, because Hank Azaria is fantastic.
He is great. But again, if he was still doing that role now, exactly. I would have a serious problem with it.
Yeah. Yeah, there are aspects. And I think that...
If he came back and did it now, I'd laugh my head off. But it's the consistency. It's that we're supposed to be watching narrative growth.
Yeah, plus that really worked Robin Williams was very serious in his characterization...
The fuck was that character's name?
And B, Nathan Lane was his husband.
Oh, man.
So...
I love Nathan Lane.
You've got Nathan just kind of, like, cementing everything. So you can have Hank Azaria be offensive, because then you turn to Nathan Lane, and you're like, right. Oh. Never mind.
Oh, Nathan Lane. I think Nathan Lane was probably... Nathan Lane's character in The Birdcage was probably, at that point, the first super feminine... gay man that I was able to super enjoy and just kind of respect despite all the crazy I still kind of get and enjoy the out of you
and like that character has a bag of cats for a brain
which and you know coming as like at that age like young gay boy from the sticks, like I was all into my like no gotta pretend to be in any way a macho because otherwise like people yell fag from their cars because it's the early 2000s kind of thing, you know, but just so fucking well done, so funny.
So it does have like this odd,
and that wouldn't bother me if Nathan Lane played that character for 30 years.
No,
that wouldn't bother me at all.
No, because Nathan Lane is gay.
Nathan Lane is gay, and it's also in its one cinematic stretch, in a way, more nuanced than a poo.
Here's a question.
That might be unfair, but...
No, but here's a question. It doesn't feel it. Tying it back to Nathan Lane, would you want to see him the character from The Producers for 30 years, in which he plays a straight Jewish man?
No, but it doesn't have anything to do with that. It's just, I wouldn't... It's enjoyable as a movie, but I wouldn't even tune in for a season.
The original Producers is enjoyable as a movie. The movie version of the musical wasn't very good.
Is it Matthew Broderick? Does he bother you?
No, it's a staging. They stage it as...
Are you sure it's not Matthew Broderick? Now he bothers you?
It's not Matthew Broderick. It's how they shoot it as if it is just point the camera at the fucking stage and that's it.
A lot of people tell me that Matthew Broderick bothers them, and it's that.
Matthew Broderick doesn't bother me because everything that Matthew Broderick is cast in, he is cast as a loser, and it's just like, no, that makes sense. He's a loser.
Oh,
he's a loser. He's falling backwards into everything, and everything sucks.
Burnt.
He married a horse.
Burnt to cinders. Heavens. What a tangent. Let's get back to Let's get back to the point before we brutalize their children.
Anyway, so yeah, the Simpsons kind of responded in a way that not many people were expecting from a show that tries to portray itself as being rather, you know, progressive and foresighty.
It didn't come
that.
Across as rebellious in any way. It didn't come across as like we're sticking to principles in any way. It just came across as in like we didn't really have the time to care about this,
and we aren't going to put the time into it now. Maybe we will someday, probably not. And that it's that probably not of like
if at all
are you going to be canceled and you're just being like, listen, here's the thing. It's actually becoming way too expensive to produce this. We're not getting the returns. And we've scripted out to the end of the show. And
who cares if that's what it is? Nobody watching that little segment knew that. It just comes across as just absolutely, completely disinterested.
Here's the other thing, though. There's a minority opinion on it. And the minority opinion is that they are intentionally doing it because Are you speaking or talking about The Simpsons otherwise?
What, do they think people are going to tune in to Hate Watch?
Yeah.
Is that what they want to become?
Or see what, or even to just apply to people who, if they're not overtly right or something, that they're just like, I'm so sick of hearing all these people complain.
Oh, no, I refuse to subscribe
to that
theory. No.
I would certainly
hope
not.
That's a Minority Report for a reason, I think.
But in the realm of fourth dimensional chess, in the land of Trump, nothing is certain and everything is shit.
What? Whose law is it where you should never ascribe to malice what can be ascribed to incompetence?
I believe it's given to Churchill, but I don't think he actually said it.
No, that doesn't. No. He did say starve those brown people, though, which...
No, he also said gas the Kurds.
Yeah, so he probably would have more problems with this documentary.
Yeah.
That seems like a good point to call the show.
That's a great play. Fuck you, Winston Churchill. Thank you for listening.
I feel like this episode may have dragged on, not in a way that I didn't enjoy, but because I accidentally mentioned beloved character actress Margot Martindale, like, midway through.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize it, but subconsciously, I probably thought the credits were rolling right after.
That's what it should have ended. Because
that's what
there.
They do.
Margot Martindale to you all.
Beloved character actress. Margot Martindale.